Thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
All right, we're continuing in our Year in the Psalm series. We're going to be looking at Psalm 1. Psalm 1. So if you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, let's open up to Psalm 1. If you're able to stand, let me invite you to rise for the reading of God's Word. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Thank you, Father, for our psalm today, Psalm 1. Lord, as we meditate on your word today, we pray that you would transform our hearts from the inside out. Holy Spirit, do your work in our midst. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So many believers, or even non-believers, know simple truths about God. One of the most famous passages, right? For God so loved the world. So God is love. Those of us who are believers, we of course know this and we believe in this. But like I said, even non-believers believe in this simple fact that God is love. But many times, even though we know this, we get discouraged easily. The truth that God is love sometimes is just not enough in our own lives. And why is that? Why is that? Well, it's because we know certain facts, but it hasn't really transformed us. And we chase fantasies, and some of the things that we look for in life is being blessed. Blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? Well, from a worldly standpoint, what it means to be blessed is that you have everything you want, or you have fame, and you have fortune. So when you have fame and fortune, you feel like God is blessing you. I remember before I became a pastor, when I was working in Wall Street, every time I would get a promotion, people at church will come up to me and say, Jay, God is blessing you, right? Whether it's a promotion or a raise, it's a blessing. And yet, is that really what blessing is? What about when you don't get a promotion? What about when you get fired from your job or you get let go? What about then? Is it because we're doing something wrong that all these bad things are happening in our lives? Well, that's really what that blessing means, right? Blessing means absolute well-being. That's what that word means, absolute well-being, where you're lacking nothing. If you read through the Bible, you know that God says, blessed are the ones who die to themselves. So what really marks the truly blessed life? Well, let's find out together as we look at Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is, of course, the first psalm of the book of Psalms. We have 150 psalms, and the first psalm is the introduction to the entire book. I think Tim Keller said that it's a doorway to prayer, because the book of Psalms can be viewed as the book of prayer. So let's look at Psalm 1 together. It starts by saying blessed, blessed. Blessed is the one. And then verse 1 really talks about when to say no. So here are the things you need to say no to. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Notice the progression. It says you don't walk in step with the wicked. You don't stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. So what does it mean to walk? Well, walk can really be seen as believe. Believe. So you don't believe what the world teaches you. Blessed is the one who doesn't believe in what the world teaches. What does it mean to stand? Well, stand is, it's a little firmer, so it's you could see it as behaving. So you could believe one thing, but then if you stand, that means you start to behave this way. And we see this happening everywhere, don't we? We know there's God's way, and then there's the way of the world. And we see the way of the world slowly influencing the church, slowly influencing us. And that's what Jesus spoke against. You may have heard this, but I say to you that. That's what the Bible teaches us. And so for us, it's a dangerous place to be when we start believing in the world, believing what the world teaches, or we're attracted to what the world teaches. Because once you start believing in something, you start to behave in that way, and that's what it means to stand. And then it lands with sitting, sitting in the company of mockers. So what does it mean to sit? When we're in the Semitic world, when you sit with a group of people, that means that's who you identify with. So you see the progression. You believe, you behave, and then you sit. You start to identify yourselves with the world. And so that's the progression of how the world influences us. And so God is teaching us through Psalm 1 that blessed is the one who does not walk. So you don't walk, you don't stand, and you don't sit. So who you're with matters. Who you're with matters. And sometimes that's also within the church. I've been a believer long enough, and I've been in the church long enough to know that sometimes just because you gather in the church does not necessarily mean you are walking in the way of the Lord. Bible studies can easily turn into a gossip session. And then the gossip session will lead you down the wrong path. And instead of feeling edified, instead of feeling united, you leave divided. And you're not edified. You feel horrible. And so if you find yourself in situations like that, Scripture is teaching us, blessed is the one who does not walk. You need to stop walking. You need to stop standing or sitting in that scenario. Just because you're inside the church doesn't mean you're protected. Amen? Right? So in the church, we need to walk in the way God calls us to walk. And that's not easy to do. But that's what God calls us to do. So that's the no part. So it starts with, blessed is the one who you say no to all these things. And then in verse 2, it shifts to the yes. So we say no to these things, but we say yes to verse 2. Blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. So there's a contrast here. So you don't walk with sinners, you don't stand with them, you don't sit with them, but you delight in the law of the Lord. What does it mean to delight in something? That means it brings joy to you, right? Delight. So what does it take to delight in the law of the Lord? Do you delight in the law of the Lord? Or is the law of the Lord, is the word of God burdensome to you? Sometimes when I read it, it's like, oh, there's all these do's and don'ts. It teaches us how to behave. And it teaches us and it shows us how we can't live up to God's expectations. So how do you delight in this law? How are you not burdened by this? To delight in something means you love it so much you spend time with it. Like, I delight in music, my kind of music. So I love listening to music, and I could spend hours and hours listening to music. And in the old days, you know, we used to have these equalizers, and I'll spend hours tweaking just so that I get the perfect sound. And that just brought joy and delight in me when I found that perfect sound. And then you hear the next song, and then you got to readjust everything again. But it didn't matter because I just enjoyed it. And that's really what it means to delight in something. So to delight in the law of the Lord means you read the Word of God, you read the Torah, and it brings joy to you. Every aspect of the Word brings joy to you. It's not burdensome. A lot of times when I talk to people about reading the Word of God, they don't spend a lot of time in the Word. And if you ask them why, say, oh, I'm too busy, or you open up the Word and you're just easily distracted, all these other things are popping up in your head, and or you read it and you don't know what you just read, and the Bible's hard to read, the language is hard, and so if that's your attitude, then it's hard to delight in it. So we need to pretty much change our attitude on how we approach the Word of God. Like the music example, I didn't overnight become an expert in tweaking things. But the more time I spent, the more I got to appreciate the sound and the change that I make here, how that affects the sound. And so the more time you spend with God and His Word, the more you're going to appreciate the law of the Lord, the Word of God. So it starts with spending time. And it says here, those who meditate on His law day and night. So day and night just means you're doing it all the time, right? And the word meditate is written in the imperfect tense. For those of you, what that means is it's an ongoing action. It's not a one-time thing. And so to meditate on something means to talk to yourself about it. So you repeat the word over and over again. You think about the word over and over again, and you're consumed by the word over and over again. And so if you want to be blessed, Scripture is teaching us, well, then you delight in the law and you meditate on the law day and night. You love spending time in the Word. I don't know. I don't think I met a lot of people who do that. They like to spend some time in the morning, but not day and night. You know. I think I shared this last year, but there's somebody I met, and this person, this whole family, they do family devotions by writing out the Bible. They just write. They don't read it, they write the word. And as they're writing it, it causes them to slow down in reading the word. And then you start paying attention to the word that you're writing. And sometimes you come across a word that you don't understand or you don't know the context of it. And then you start thinking about that. And then you start talking to your family and your friends about the passage that you're writing. And through that, you are meditating. You are chewing on the word. And this meditating on the word is also something that Joshua had commanded. There we go. In Joshua 1:8, he says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. So if you want to be prosperous and successful, Joshua is saying, you meditate on the law day and night. You chew on the law day and night. So what are some practical ways we can do this? I gave you an example of writing something out. Another way to do this is how Martin Luther meditated on the word. So let's all turn our attention to our bulletin. I know not all of you read it, but I'm going to make you read it today. I give you an example of Martin Luther's method of meditating. So he uses, it's an acronym, or it's a letter, T-A-C-S, teaching. So when he reads a passage that he wants to meditate on, he writes down, what is the teaching? What does this text mean? What is God saying here? So you start with that. What is God teaching us here? And a lot of times, our Bible study ends right there. What is God teaching us? God is love. Okay, great. God is love. So you leave the Bible study knowing that God is love. But that's just the beginning. So after that, A is for adoration. So what stirs up praise based on this teaching? If God is love, what is that stirring us up in us? How do we worship him? Why do we worship him based on that? Well, God loves us even though we don't deserve his love. For that, we worship him. And then you move on to confession. So, where am I falling short based on this fact? Well, I'm not a loving person. I don't love God back. Or my love is conditional. Or my love is transactional. So for this, I ask for your forgiveness. And then S is for supplication. So what should I ask for? Help me to love the way you do, Jesus. So that's an example of how Martin Luther meditates. And I think that's a good way for us to do our devotionals. So, teaching, what is God saying here? Adoration, based on this, what is our response? How can we worship God? Where do we fall short based on this teaching? And what do we need from God based on this teaching? Isn't that a great way to study the Bible? Isn't that a great way to meditate? Right? So imagine if we all meditated on the word this way as a church. I think we're going to witness powerful transformation through the word of God. Amen? Isn't that what we want? No? Am I the only one who wants this? Well, as a pastor, I want this in your life, for the word of God to transform you. Because when the word of God transforms you, then even when hardship comes, you don't run away. You live by faith and not by sight. When your relationship with God is like this, then you know you are blessed. Doesn't matter. You don't need a promotion to know that you are blessed. You don't need a raise to know that you are blessed. You don't need people giving you gifts to know that you are blessed. Because you are blessed because you know that God loves you. You know that God is with you, and you know that he saved you. Amen? Amen. So then he compares a blessed person as a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So a blessed person is like a tree. And what's the significance of this tree being planted by streams of water? That means the source. Because trees need water to survive. That source of life comes from this stream of water. You don't have to rely on the rain like today. And then you yield fruit in season. Did you pick that up? It's in season. It's not all the time. It's not all seasons. But there's a season when you yield fruit. And then there's a season when you don't yield fruit. And some of us may be going through a season where we're not yielding fruit. And that's okay. That's what I tell myself all the time. It's okay. Because there are seasons when you yield fruit. But then there are seasons where you're not. There are seasons when rain doesn't come. There are harsh seasons. But you will not die. Your leaf will not wither. Why? Because you are planted by streams of water. Fruit may not be coming out yet, but you're planted by streams of water and you're going to weather this storm. You're not going to cry out, "Why God? Why me?" And whatever they do prospers. We live by faith and not by sight. We don't let the circumstance dictate how we live. We don't say, "I love you, God," only when things are going well in our lives. Because everybody does that. They thank God, they thank Jesus when they win an award. But what about when you don't win one? Do you still praise God? Do you still worship God? And that's what I'm learning from our church. You know, every time in our church when someone faces hardship, they don't run away from God. They run towards God. And I hope you guys are seeing this too and you're learning from this. And when hardship comes, you run towards God. You don't run away. You worship God even more. And know that you are blessed even when you're not yielding any fruit. Can we do this, church? He compares, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Yeah. Chaff is like a husk. It's weightless when it comes to what we can gain from it. It's worthless. It's thrown away. And it's useless. So there's no permanence with the chaff. It gets thrown out. It's corn season, so whenever we go to the market, you see people buying corn, right? And you see the husk, and it's green. But and sometimes you need that when you're cooking the corn. But when it comes time to eating it, you throw it out. It's useless. So the wicked are like the chaff. So the blessed. It's like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, yielding its fruits in season. But the wicked are like chaff. So do you see Psalm 1 is telling us there are two ways to live? There's this way that produces life, and then there's another way that leads to destruction. So that's what Psalm 1 is doing here. Just weighing. There's the way of God, the way of the world. Blessed, wicked. Life, death. So what do you choose? Seems like a simple answer here, doesn't it? But not so simple when you examine your life through the lens of Psalm 1. Because even though we know this, we're always leaning this way. We want this. Sometimes, even though we know it leads to destruction. And if you choose that path, it says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. You're not going to stand in judgment. You're not going to survive judgment. Judgment day is coming. Jesus is coming back to judge. And we need to be ready for that day. But the wicked will not stand. You're not going to survive the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. You'll be separated. And then it ends by saying, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. There are two ways. There's a road that leads to righteousness. There's a road that leads to destruction. There are two ways to live. Which path are you on? In Matthew 7, Christ says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. We always want to take the path of least resistance, right? We always want to take the easy way out. But the broad and the wide gate leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Only a few. And how do you find this way? Well, you find it through Jesus Christ. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. So the way of the world, say, well, this is the right way, and it appears that way. You know, when we're tempted to follow the way of the world, it sounds right. It appears right. It looks so delicious. It looks easy. And you start using logic and reason to justify, yes, this may be the right way, but it leads to death. So which way do you go, church? There are two ways, right? Well, Christ said, I am the way. I am the way that leads to righteousness. And then there is the way of destruction. So you may think by saying, okay, there are two ways to live. I choose this way. But can you really choose this way? In a way, when you see that there's two ways to live, there are three ways to live. Because the way of the righteous, we can't go. We don't have the ability to go down that way. We are naturally going to walk down the path that leads to destruction. That's who we are. So even though there are two ways, all of us, we're heading this way. There's only one. There's only one who delights in the law of the Lord. There's one who meditates on the law day and night. There's only one. And that's Jesus, and so he's the only one who goes this way. So really, there are three ways to live. The way of destruction, the way of righteous, but only one walk through that way. So for us to go this way, we have to follow the one who walked that way. We need Jesus, and that's what Jesus has done. He walked the other way so that we could walk the way of righteousness. Amen? That's who Jesus is. And it's only through him that we're able to walk down the path of righteousness. So, church, do you believe in Jesus? And when I say believe in Jesus, I'm not talking about just cognitively in our minds know who Jesus is and what he has done. But do you really know Jesus? Do you know what he has done? Do you know what he has opened for us? We can meditate on his law day and night. We could chew on his word. And as we chew on his word, the word of God through the Holy Spirit will transform us so that we will not live a life of defeat, that we will not let the world dictate how we should live. It's only through Jesus where we don't walk, nor stand, nor sit with the world, but we delight in the law of the Lord. It is only through Jesus we receive the blessings from God. We are blessed through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. So what marks the truly blessed life? Truly blessed life delights in and lives by God's word, by meditating. So let me ask you today, what is your delight? What gives you joy? What do you do that you could spend hours on without noticing time going by, that you enjoy it so much? Probably a better way to ask this is, who is your delight? May the one who lived the perfect life here on earth, may the one who died the death that you and I deserve, so that we can walk down the path of righteousness, may he be your delight. Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for making a way when there is no way, Lord God. Jesus, we thank you for walking down the path of destruction so that we could walk down the path of life. So, Holy Spirit, we ask that you awaken in our souls a hunger for your word. May we delight in your word. May we meditate on your word day and night. And Lord, as we meditate on your word, we ask that you transform us from the inside out. Build our lives, O God. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. All God's people said, amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.